Good morning, everybody. Special good morning to all the fathers, and trust that you'll have a blessed Father's Day today, and know the grace of God in special and meaningful ways, in particular today. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Obviously, I've known for a while now that this Sunday would be the last Sunday that I would have the privilege of bringing a message from God to you as your pastor. And so it's been weighing on my heart, what message would God want me to share on this last occasion with Durban North Baptist Church? And being Father's Day, also in the back of my mind, it's always a thought of when you preach on these days to also say something to the fathers. With regards to Father's Day and our role as fathers. But over the last few weeks, I've just felt the Lord impressing on my heart to commend to you Him as our Heavenly Father. And this passage comes from the Lord to us, commending Himself as our Heavenly Father. But it comes also with a heart from your pastor, commending to you our sovereign, great, and gracious Almighty, sovereign God who loves us and cares for us unconditionally. And I want to commend Him to you this morning and trust that you will hold on to these truths that we learned this morning, and it'll be of great encouragement and blessing to you as you continue to faithfully and perseveringly keep your eyes fixed on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so let's have a look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 7 through 11. Jesus is writing to us, or Jesus is speaking rather, and He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Just so far this morning, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we come again before you this morning with hearts that are anticipating and expecting to hear from you, for you to speak into our lives and the situations and the circumstances that we face and are facing and will face today and the days that lie ahead. We come, Lord, because we desire to live the life that you have created us for and you desire us to live. And so, Lord God, we pray that as we come under your word this morning, you would once again, by your Spirit, move in our hearts and make us sensitive to what you would want us to hear this morning. And we ask this for your praise and for your glory. Amen. As I look over or at life in general today, I'm very much aware that life is becoming very much or very more demanding on our generation every day. We live lives that demand our time, that demand our energy, that demand our money, demand our attention, demand our emotions, demands our support and commitment, demand our pleasures, and even demands our futures. And before we know it, our lives are so caught up in meeting all these demands that the world or life has on us, that life just simply becomes for us an effort in meeting these demands. We could almost say that life today becomes, or the life today demands, become our very life. and we lose our joy in life. We lose our purpose. We lose our excitement and passion about the life that we have been given. When we consider how God has saved us to a new life in Christ, He has rescued us from being rebels against Him to a life that now lives in submission to Him. And when we realize that that life is the best life that God wants us to live here on this earth, we realize how much this world and its demands rob us of what God wants for us. We read in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave to His disciples, telling them about the expectations, about the demands that God has on our new lives in Christ, about the demands that God has over our lives so that we would be able to live the lives that He wants us to live, the lives that He's created us to find abundance and joy and excitement and passion and zealousness for Him. For instance, in chapter 5 there, we see the certain demands on our attitudes, like being poor in spirit, being meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being peacemakers. We also are told in chapter 5 to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're also told we're not to be filled with hatred, anger, or lust. We're told that we're not to retaliate, but to love our enemies. In chapter 6, God's kingdom citizens are meant to be considerate of others or the needs of others. We're also told that we should commit ourselves to fasting. We should be investing in our lives and our resources into eternity. And then in chapter 7, we almost also receive a hammer blow of a demand. A demand that we as kingdom citizens are not to judge one another on how each other's meeting these demands, because we too will be judged by God with regards to how these demands are being met in our own lives. And so when we consider life and all the demands that we experience on a day-to-day basis, added to that the demands that Christ has on us, suddenly life becomes a great effort for us. Suddenly life doesn't seem to have all the joy and the excitement that God so desires for us. Life becomes for us a matter of survival, doesn't it? Life becomes for us just keeping our heads above water. Life becomes about just maintaining, doing what is necessary so that we might survive day to day, both in our relationship with the world and our relationship with God. When we do that, we miss out on the life that our Heavenly Father desires for us as His children. I kind of noticed this in the boys that God has given me, my sons. There are demands on their lives from dad and mom, obviously. There are demands on their lives from school. There are demands on their lives from their friends. And it's easy for them to look at all these demands and say, well, I've just got to do what they say I must do. I've just got to meet up to these expectations all day, every day. That is my life. And it can rob them of the joy that there is of being little boys at this age, growing up and learning about life and about what God would want for them. They could say that and miss out on the best years of their life. But my boys have a father who wants only what is good for them. A father who wants what is best for them. I cannot take away the demands that life has on their lives. I cannot do that. But what I can do is help them meet some of those demands that allow them to enjoy the life that God would want them to live at this stage of their life. Friends, if you here this morning and you are feeling the demands of life on your life, not only the demands of life, but also the expectations of God also on your life. You battling to keep your head above water, battling to balance the two. If you're just trying to find a happy medium so that everybody is satisfied and content, you're missing out. You're missing out what your Heavenly Father desires for you. I think the church today, especially amongst our more affluent society, seems to have lost its joy in the Lord. Seems to have lost its joy in the life that God has saved us to. That has purposed us to enjoy and be excited about and be involved in to His glory and for our good. The demands of lifestyles, the demands of friends, the demands of our possessions, our wealth and our businesses have robbed us of that desire to find the life that God so desperately wants us to enjoy here on this earth. Let me say, the Sermon on the Mount, with all its demands, with all its expectations on us, is not meant to be unbearable for us. God never gave us these demands and these expectations for us to miss out on what He wants for us. When God saved us and gave us these demands and expectations for our lives, He was giving them to us for our good. As we read in verse 11, we only have a Father who wants good for us. He wants the best for you and for me now as much as He wants the best for us in eternity. And so the demands and the expectations that God places on your life and my life today, in His Word, that's where we find these demands and expectations, are meant for our good. Are meant for us to be able to deal with the demands and expectations of the world. When the demands and expectations of the world become intense and burden us, the demands of God are meant to free us from those bondages. To say, in God, I have a Father who wants my best. In God, I have a Father who knows what is best. And I will turn to Him. I will rely on Him to help me deal with the demands and expectations of this life in His perspective and for His glory. God is not going to take away the demands, friends, of this world. He's not going to suddenly remove the challenges for us. But He is, and He has, given us good expectations and demands to meet that will see us rise above the challenges of this life, the demands of this world, and find great joy, and great excitement and passion about knowing Him and having this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Well, Mark, you might say that's nice to know, but the truth is that the demands of life are still so intense, so pressurizing each day that we, at the end of the day, we just seem to have no strength and ability to be able to take those expectations and apply them to our lives and to live them out so that we might be those that live with a joy and an excitement about life. Friends, that's precisely why I believe we have our passage this morning at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The end of God's expectations for us. For God wants us to take our eyes off ourselves. And listen to me carefully here this morning. As your pastor, who probably won't get to say much to you in the future around the Word of God, God wants to take your eyes off yourself. And He wants you to place them on Him. He wants you to look to Him for your strength, for your ability, for your help to meet His expectations in your life. We see this in verse 7. After giving His demands for our lives, God invites us. He extends an invitation to you and me to depend, to rely on Him in meeting these great demands that He's just given to His followers. In fact, three times the invitation comes from God to us to rely on Him. Don't look to your own strength. Don't look to your own ability, because if you do, you will fail. You'll end up missing out on what I have for you, God promises. Instead, He says to us, ask me. Seek me. Knock at my door for help. Knock at my door for help. Again, in verse 8, the invitation is repeated. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened to you. The reason for the invitation being repeated so much is that God dearly desires that we look to Him for help in living the life that He wants for us. I don't think we as Christians really appreciate today that we are in a war. We are in a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities of this dark world and the evil forces of the spiritual realms. Living the Christian life is not going to be plain sailing for us. Satan has a target on our backs, and he is aiming to take our eyes off God onto something else in order to destroy our relationship with God, in order to rob us of the joy that God has saved us to. Too often we depend on ourselves to meet the demands of life and the demands of God, and we settle for a middle ground where there's no real lasting joy, there's no real lasting purpose, there's no satisfaction in what we're doing. God, our Father, knows what we are up against. He knows how tough it is for us each and every day. And in an invitation, almost coming to us as a command, He says, ask, seek, and knock for my help. I want you to have it so that you may enjoy and find great fulfillment in the life that I have so greatly and costly saved you to. Friends, asking, seeking, and knocking are different ways God is inviting us to pray. Prayer is depending on God's goodness in all situations and circumstances to prevail. Can I say that again? Prayer is depending on God's goodness in all situations and circumstances to prevail. God wants us to pray. God wants us to come before Him and ask Him and plead Him to make some of these expectations a reality in our lives, that we may begin to enjoy Him and what He has for us forever. I love it. I absolutely treasure it. That unlike the demands of this world, the demands of God come with an invitation for it, with His help. God invites us to ask Him, to seek Him, to knock at His door and receive the help that we might live the lives that He wants us to live. But not only does His demands come with an invitation for His help, they also come with the promise of His help. 7 times God promises that if we pray and if we ask and we seek and knock for His help, it will come. It will be given to us. God's word is truth, and so every time God speaks, we can take it as a promise from God. And so let me read these verses to you a little differently. From God's perspective, He says in verse 7, ask and I promise you it will be given to you. Seek and I promise you, you will find. Knock and I promise you it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, I promise, will receive. And the one who seeks, I promise, will find. And to the one who knocks, I promise it will be opened. And then in verse 11, how much more I promise you will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him. With God, the asker receives, the seeker finds, and the knocker gets the open door. Therefore, the point of this array of promises is to encourage us to come, urging us to come before God in dependency and relying on Him for the life that He wants us to live. Come and pray. Come and experience the Father and all His goodness for us through prayer. God almost says to us, come pray confidently, because I promise you, I will give to you what is good for you. Let me say again that God has given us these demands and expectations, not only here in the Sermon on the Mount, but throughout Scripture, for our good. For our good, folks. And therefore, what He gives to us is in relation to what He has given to us as good. We can't simply just name it and claim it with God based on this verse, as others are promoting today. We can't do that. We come to God and we receive that promise from Him that He will give to us what He has said already in His Word as good for us. I also want you to notice the variety of invitations to pray. Variety of invitations to depend on God. Ask and seek and knock. If I'm with my sons and they need something, what do? They immediately come to Dad and they say, Dad, I need this. They ask me. If I'm somewhere in my house, out of their sight, they need something, they'll go and they'll seek and find me to get what they need. If I'm in my office studying, they'll have to come and find me and knock at the door and make sure that I hear that knock in order for them to receive what they need. The point of this is that God is inviting us to pray by asking, seeking, and knocking, because it does not matter how we feel with regards to God's presence in our lives. Whether we feel God is close to us, where we can just ask Him for something. Whether we feel a little bit like the psalmist, that far from God, that we have to seek Him in our lives to be able to know that He hears us and will respond to our prayers. Or maybe that there's a barrier in our lives that we need to knock at. Knock it down so that God would hear our prayers. Whatever the situation you might be facing, however you might feel God's presence in your life, near or far, God will hear. God will respond for your good and for His glory. Why? Because you came knocking at His door. You came seeking Him. You came asking Him and nobody else. No matter how close or far we feel from God, when the demands of life get intense, He hears our prayers. His help is at hand and His goodness is ready to be dispensed to you. Ask Him. Seek Him. Knock at His door, for He will respond. Lastly, another promise that we need to be reminded of here in God's invitation to pray and promises to answer is that everyone who comes to God for help will receive the help God deems good for us. If we come to God through faith in Jesus Christ as God's children, there's no category of prayers that God is sifting through to say which is more important than the other. All of God's children have equal access to the goodness of God. And all will receive when we ask, when we seek, and when we knock on His door. Jesus encourages us with this in verse 8, everyone who asks receives, and seeks will find, and knocks will be opened. Everyone. I really believe that Jesus says this because He wants us to be those who overcome our timidity, our hesitancy, our disillusionment of prayer. So often we think that our prayers are not being answered, that God is not doing what is good for us because He's not doing what we expect as being good for us. Sometimes we expect, we're not that kind of a person. We don't need to go to God and pray. God only answers a certain person's prayer. If we're a child of God, the promise is for us today that our prayers will be heard if we come to Him in prayer, according to His wisdom and what is good and perfect for us. We can't be a Christ follower and say that prayer only works for certain Christians. We can't be a Christ follower and say, well, I only need to pray when I've got real issues in my life. We can't be a Christ follower and say that we can only pray, or we should only pray when we're really expecting God to give us what we think is good for our lives. No. We should be coming to God in the demands of life and the challenges of life at every opportunity and pleading with Him to make His truth a reality in our lives so that we might hold on to what He thinks is good and perfect for our lives. And so, friends, following or allowing God's demands to help us live with joy and fulfillment in the midst of this demanding and challenging world that we live in is dependent on God's helping hand in your life. If you think you can go out in the world and meet all those demands and then still come and meet the demands of God in your life, you are sadly mistaken. If you think you can have the joy in your own strength and ability of what God desires for your life, you're going to miss out. God wants you to come. He invites you to come and rest in Him for all the goodness that He desires for your life so that you might enjoy the life He has given to you. As I end off, I'd like to remind us of who we pray to. We've kind of implied it, but let's say it with Jesus in verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So often we as Christians want to make correlation or comparisons with God our Father, with our earthly Father. But Jesus over here says, be careful when you do that. Don't limit your understanding of the fatherhood of God to your own experience of your earthly fathers. Why? Because Jesus says our earthly fathers are evil. He doesn't mince His words here. He doesn't say they are weak or they're not powerful or they're not good enough. No, He says to them, they are in the Greek poneroi, which is evil. All of humankind is stained in the eyes of Jesus, in the eyes of God, with a sinful nature, which makes us even at our best evil in the eyes of God. The best father is a father who has fallen short of God's expectations for their lives. The best mother is a mother who's fallen short of the expectations of God in their lives. We need God in our lives, friends. We need God's grace to help us be the fathers and mothers, the bosses, the friends, the colleagues that God would want us to be here on this earth. Our Heavenly Father is better, though. There is no evil in Him. God only gives to us good things because He comes to us not stained by a fallen nature, but He comes to us with a perfect nature. He comes to us with a perfect perspective of life here on this earth and life eternal. God wants what is best for you not only in this life, but He wants you to enjoy what is best for you for eternal life with Him. And God our Father is, in His perfection, in His holiness, is so much better than anything we could imagine. God has our best at heart, as any father should. But God's best comes with an eternal perspective that will result not only in our good as we face the demanding life that we live in, but we face eternity as well. And so, dear friends, if God, our Heavenly Father, wants what is good for us, not only for this life, but for the life to come. And if He invites us to allow Him to give us that good life, both now and for the life to come. And if our good Father promises to give us what is good for us, both now and for eternity, what is stopping us from coming before Him, asking, seeking, and knocking for His help? As I said, as I share this last message at Durban North Baptist Church with you, my prayer is that our Heavenly Father and all His goodness for your life will become so irresistible that you will find yourself every day depending and relying on His grace and His mercy to give you the life that He has created and desires for you. And so depend on Him, friends. Depend on Him for the life that He so desires for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you as our perfect Heavenly Father who only wants what is good for us and promises not to give us anything that is not good, anything that will not benefit our lives here. Thank you for the fact that you are that Father who has an eternal perspective at the heart of everything you give to us. That we can come to you in the challenges and demands and needs of this life, knowing without a doubt from your promises that we can have that assurance that you'll give us what is good for both. And so, Father, won't you help us as a church? Won't you help us as individuals to every day find our joy in you, to find our help in you, so that we might be and we might live the lives that you have created us for, both now and forevermore. We ask this for your praise and for your glory. Amen.